project. So we are now moving into the prophets and the kings section. So I'm giving the first message there. So we finished up a kingdom established. We're in the part now we've seen that the kings were established under Saul and then under David and under Solomon. And as has always been the case since we've been reading this, we've seen two things. We've seen God being faithful to the people he called his. And then we've seen the people that he called his rebelling, constantly rebelling. And it doesn't stop, right? It doesn't stop. And we're here now today, we're going to be talking about Elijah and one of my favorite Bible stories, the Mount Carmel fight. To me, it feels like, listen, the title of the sermon is The God Who Answers with Fire. But I also want to call this the fight, you know, after school, meet me behind the gym message. Because God, for centuries, have been dealing with the people who have been stiff-necked, whom he's shown nothing but love and mercy to over and over and over again. And despite that, there was an inability of a people to really love him and embrace him for who he is. And all his goodness and all his grace, they still wanted to hold on to something that wasn't him. And I know we read this in modern-day Christianity in our nice seats, and you know, there may be a tendency for us to kind of read these scriptures and these stories and wonder why. I mean, centuries ago, didn't he walk you out of a land of bondage, a land where you were beaten and you were made to work 7 days a week building bricks and building monuments and not really truly able to worship the God that you wanted to worship? Didn't God take you from that place of bondage to give you freedom? But if you think about our lives, those of you who are sitting here today, think about where you've been. What have been your places of bondage that God has released you from and has taken you from here to there? And yet, if you really examine your life, like we all do, we're all human, we all find ourselves still holding on to those things that held us bondage. Those things that we worship that aren't God. Those things that we hold as false gods and as idols in our lives. So there was a work that was done in our lives too, just like in the children of Israel, where he's taken us from glory to glory, and yet we sit in the same spot that the Israelites sat in at the time where God was real. He showed up in a very real way to them. And yet despite that, they still were making choices that had nothing to do with who God was and who he was, but rather sort of the me factor. What do I think God is and what do I want to do? And so today, as we rehearse the story of Elijah and what happens at Mount Carmel, I want you to think about not just the story that we rehearse, but again, our exercise is to see Jesus Christ all the way woven through the scriptures. And even as we rehearse this story, we see Jesus Christ talking to his people then, as he talks to us now, and he's saying the exact same things over and over and over again, over and over again. We cover the establishment of the kingdom under Israel, under King Saul, David, and Solomon, but Solomon didn't in his life the right way. You remember the sermon when we talked about the temple and how God had blessed him among all men and given him all wisdom and all wealth. And I suppose he was a very handsome man. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, something like that. He gave him stamina, that's for sure too, right? He gave him a whole lot of stuff. In fact, Solomon, there was nobody reigned, there was no one intelligent, there was no one smarter than, there was no one who had as much wisdom as Solomon. Yet in all of that giftedness, Solomon still at the very end moved away from God. And so we find God splitting the kingdom and taking the unified Israel that we knew and splitting it up. So now we have Judah and now we have Israel. And if you read the story, if you go through and just read the scripture, if you read through 1 Kings and 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles and you read and you encounter God in those scriptures, what you'll see are the same things happening over and over and over again, that despite him reaching out to us, there's a rebellion that's really unexplainable that happens. And so God says, if you don't do this, then this is what's going to happen. He told them in Deuteronomy, choose life. Yet, over and over again, the Israelites and we often choose death. to choose another way. Today, our message, we're here at Mount Carmel, where the people of Israel find themselves at a crossroads. The reality of who God is about to crisscross with the fake reality that came from Israel's own creations and desires which had replaced God in their lives. It is in this moment that God has to speak to them in fire. In fire. We don't talk about God speaking to us in fire a lot, but at this particular crossroad in the lives of the children of Israel, God decided to show up in this way. And you know, that's how it is for us too. There are times in our lives when the Lord has to speak to us in the same manner. When we build up and we create for ourselves things that replace God in our own lives, that suck the life from us. Sometimes God has to come in fire and light us up a little bit and speak to us. Out of the person who He is, out of love, He speaks to us in that same fire, in that same flame. When God reveals Himself to us and we can't see the reality of who He is because we're too hurt. You see, when we pursue our own gods and our own ways and when we hold on to the past, you know what happens? We get hurt. We get tired. Anybody out there hurt and tired? No? Yeah, you get tired. You get frustrated. Anybody frustrated lately with something or someone? Somebody said something to you. You get mad. So we're too mad or we're too sick due to the wrong focus or faith in the wrong things. There are times when we find ourselves in those circumstances where the Father, Son, and Spirit speaks to us loudly and firmly out of His love, says, stop! Stop! And that's what He had to say to the children of Israel, and that's what He has to say to us. Sometimes He's got to wake us up and He has to say, stop! Just like that. He's got to say, no! Just like that. Because in your pain and in your suffering and doing your own ways, maybe that's the only way you can hear Him. So God in His love, because He wants to be heard, He wants to be known, He wants to relate with us, sometimes He has to say, stop. Stop what you're doing. And like that little kid who wants to do what they want to do, sometimes it scares us sometimes, right? Sometimes it scares us, but that's okay. Sometimes God has to tell us, stop. So today we're going to see God speaking out of His love and saying stop to the children of Israel. In helping to communicate the Lord's stop, Elijah demonstrates the stark contrast between our lives, between the demand placed on our lives by pursuing false idols and the resources God provides for us to pursue our relationship with Him. And in the end, one pursuit leads us to bleed out and be used up. The other pursuit builds us back up and ministers to us so we can minister to others. So you understand what I just said? When we pursue our idols, when we pursue our own thing, when we pursue the me, I want to pursue my way. I want to do things my way. It's my way or the highway. I want to do things the way I want to do things. You know what happens? We get hurt. We get frustrated. We get used up. We bleed a little bit. We sulk a little bit. We cry a little bit when we do things our way. But the difference is when God does things His way and when we pursue Him, He gives us the things we need. You understand? Because I think we still sometimes get caught up in what we need to do, but it's not about what we do. It's about what Jesus does and what Jesus is doing in your life. He provides what you need. He gives you strength. He gives you the words. He wakes you up. He tells you to step. He helps you to move. He helps you to think. He helps you to breathe. He helps you to relate. See, He is our answer. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's who Jesus is. And that's who the God is that Jesus reveals to us. So sometimes we can read these stories and we can look at Israel and say, what's the deal with them? But I want us to understand that sometimes, too, we're at that same place where God is confronting us. And we feel when He confronts us, we still got to do our own thing. We still got to cut ourselves. We got to do whatever it is. do to get to God, and God saying, stop. So the first point I want to make to you, the God who answers with fire will challenge the source of your faith. You know, God has begun a work in you, and He is faithful to complete it. So that means sometimes He's going to challenge you and the source of your faith. Is it your faith in God? Is it in Father, Son, and Spirit? Or is your faith in something? Let's turn to 1 Kings. We're going to stay in 1 Kings 18 today for the sermon. Let's turn to 1 Kings 18. The God who answers with fire will challenge the source of our faith. He who begins a good work in us, and so He's going to challenge us. 1 Kings 18, verse 17. So the first section here, we're going to read 17 through 24. And it says this, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is that you, you destroyer of Israel? Now, I find that interesting that I think sometimes when we find ourselves not doing right, not when somebody presents some way, somebody who you know is going to speak the truth to you, we don't want to hear from them. In fact, we call them names sometimes. You destroyer of Israel. You know, this is what Ahab the king says. Calls him a name. And Elijah replied, I have not. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and followed the Baals. Verse 19. Now summon all Israel to meet me at Mount Carmel. But Elijah is saying, meet me after school behind the gym. And you've always heard that, right? All of you old timers, that's what used to happen back in the day. Two people had a beef, it was like, you meet me after school. Right now, depending who you are, if you heard that, you'd be like, man, I can't focus, I can't think of anything. Can't eat my lunch, I can't do my work. Because you know after school at 3 o'clock behind the gym, you know what's going down. So Elijah, in his boldness, said, meet me at school. Meet me at Mount Carmel, along with 50 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So he said, bring all your friends. Bring them all here, all 250 there, bring them all and meet me at Mount Carmel. So Ahab summoned all the Israelites and gathered the prophets out Mount Carmel. Then Elijah approached all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? And so sometimes God confronts us and asks us that very question. How long are you of two opinions? Either it's me or it's something else. You know, either you're going to continue in the way you're going and you're going to bleed out, or it's going to be me who gives you life. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If Yahweh is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. They were silent. And I think they were silent because they really knew the truth. Right? In some way, they had nothing to say. All 650 of them who were standing there with Ahab and I'm sure two at this showdown at Mount Carmel, and he boldly to these people, and they had nothing to say. Verse 22, then Elijah said to the people, I am the only remaining prophet of the Lord. The Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given, therefore, to us. They are to choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces and place it on the wood, but not light the fire. I will prepare the other bull, but not light the fire. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of Yahweh, the God who answers with fire. He is. All the people answered, well, that sounds good. That sounds good. Now, to me, that was a representative of God who's all your people. Yeah, that means that guy's coming here and says, you bring all your and you meet me here. Well, you know, he knew who was behind him, right? So he called him, let's go. And you know what? The people were dumb enough to say, all right, let's do this. So I'm glad you're laughing because that's what I first laughed when I was reading this. I'm like, who would answer him in this way? Well, sometimes we do that. When our faith and trust is in the wrong things and get challenged, sometimes we get bold enough and we don't even know We're out of our minds when we do this. But we're bold enough to God to say, okay, God, I'll do it. I'll meet you there. Or, no, God, I'm not going to do what you say. I want to do what I want to do. But sometimes we're like that little kid, right, who is crying on the kitchen floor, kicking his feet, because mom said, don't touch the hot pot. I want to touch the hot pot. And he's crying and screaming. He's trying to touch the hot pot. And mom is saying, no. Sometimes we're like that. Sometimes we're like that. God, I want to pursue this relationship. This person is me. So I want to go this way, Lord. I know you haven't seemed to be opening any doors, and all I've had is heartache. I want to pursue this, Lord. He's so cute. He loves me, right? So I want to go this way. And the Lord is saying, no, don't go there, because if you enter in that relationship, you will not see me. And yet, because we have these feelings in us, right, that's what we want to do. We can't pursue that career or that job that we wanted so, that we worked so hard our lives for. Now, this is a personal thing for me. You work hard, and you see all these people, and you're like, Lord, that's what I want. That's me. I'm the best. I don't understand. Why are you not sending me down this path, Lord, with all the things you blessed me with, Lord? Why can't I pursue this? And it could be the Lord saying, I don't want you to have that job. I don't want you taking that, of course, because if you go down there, you will not see me. Right? Or what about other objects of your affection that you just have to have, that you know if you had this, your life would be complete? How many of us have said that before? If I only had this money, everything will all be good, right? And then you get like 6 months later, you're saying, this amount of money, it'll all be good, right? Or we go back to that relationship. The one with the Lord's advice, good, right? It'll all be good. If I can only get my kids to listen to me, it'll all be good. If they can just do what I want them to do, it'll all be good. But sometimes the Lord says, you can't have your, you will not see me. So sometimes we're challenged, and sometimes we don't even know it. And God is yelling to you, and he's talking to you out of who he is in fire, and he's saying, stop going down that path, because I where who you're really pursuing. No, don't do that, but you need to know what you're or who you are and what you're not pursuing. You don't know you're like that little child on the floor who's trying to grab that hot pot, that handle, and just you touch it, because I've been whispering to you in a still small voice. You're not hearing me. I've been sending all these wise people to you. They've been talking to you. You're not hearing me. I've been doing all these things for you. You've been praying to me over and over and over again, and I've simply been saying no to you. For me. So sometimes God has to put us through fire, right? Point number two, the God who answers with fire is not a false and adamant God. Verse 25 through 29. This mic is going in and out. Should I use the other one? I'll use the other one.
That's right. I do need a new earpiece, so I put that on the list, Dave. Can you get that for me? Oh, it's got to be approved by the treasurer? Is that what you said?
Okay.
I do like that. So let's read 1 Kings 18, 25 through 29. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, since you are so numerous, choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first. So you go first. You got the most people here. You're the most confident. So why don't you go first? Call on the name of your God, but don't light the fire. So they took the bull that he gave them, prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. So we're talking at least 3 hours, right? Could be more. We don't know how long they were out there. But at least three, maybe six. They called on Baal from morning to noon, saying, Baal, answer us. And if you have an imagination, imagine this scene of all these 450 plus the 200 or 250 female false worshipers walking around yelling out in unison, Baal, answer us. But there was no sound and no one answered. Then they danced and hobbled around the altar they had made. So now it wasn't just enough to call out to God, to the God Baal. Now they had to dance to him. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Shout loudly, for he's a god. Maybe he's thinking. Maybe he's thinking it over. Maybe he has wandered away. Maybe he's on the road. Perhaps he's sleeping and will wake up." And we know the song, "He never sleeps, he never slumbers." Verse 28, they shouted loudly and cut themselves with knives and spears according to their custom until blood gushed over them. So now they really got to get going here. Now we got to cut ourselves. And it must have been pretty bad because blood's flowing all over the place. All afternoon they kept on raving until the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no sound, no one answered, and no one paid attention.